The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 331. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
What up, humans?
Brett Murdoch.
Let's fucking do this.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, back with another one. Yo, I'm not even going to waste any time. We got a lot happened this week for some reason, you know? So, plus I got to give Manny time to go heat up his food.
Tony, I'm just going to say, it's about time. I think it's one of those instances of monkeys writing Shakespeare. I don't think anything important happened for any significant reason. Just all the fucking stars aligned, man.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of things happen. Like I said, by the way, I will tease you this, though. Brett and I were just talking about it. Stay tuned for the end of the episode where I'll give you my first impressions of Returnal, people, hands-on, you know, so
First new video game in fucking forever.
Yeah, I'm going to say this off the top. When I was playing this, I'm like, oh my God, this is an actual new PS5 game. Like, I was like amazed. I'm like, holy shit, this is new.
We got a next-gen review.
Yeah, I'm not playing Monster Hunter anymore. Oh man, anyway, let's get into it, man. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is that Brett, you said exclusive, right? Our boy Jim Ryan claims that the PS5 will have more exclusives than any other previous PlayStation console.
Okay, I call bullshit on that one.
Uh-oh.
I mean, wait a minute, Sony has had it. Have they just not had exclusives?
They've had exclusives this generation.
In previous generations, like, they've had a fair amount of exclusives.
Yeah, they have.
Yes.
So, where the fuck are these games?
Yeah, I guess because... go ahead.
It's in the same place that the Xbox games are.
Nah, see, that's the thing. If you would tell me what the studios were, I could actually go back and kind of check to see who's working on what. Like, I know everybody that Microsoft hired should produce something at one point. That's at least the theory. You're not going to hire a studio for nothing. Although you may, use them for talent or something like that. But for the most part, all Microsoft studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me put it this way. most of Microsoft's acquired studios should eventually produce a game. So we can kind of get a rough estimate of how many games are in the pipeline. We don't know if they're AA or AAA. We can take some guesses. Sony, all that information is pretty obfuscated. So it just seems like, I don't know, taking Jim Ryan's word for it.
Yeah, I'm going to read his quote here. He goes, "We have been quietly but steadily investing in high-quality games for PlayStation, and we will make sure that the PS5 generation will have more dedicated software than ever before."
Well, that's what he says. Oh, my God. Okay, Tony, can you just...
Ever before this generation? Yeah.
Go ahead, bro. What do you need me to do?
The very first part of that, like,
we have been quietly but steadily investing in high quality games for PlayStation.
Fuck you, Jim Ryan. Quit quietly doing stuff. Do stuff audibly. We want to hear about it. It doesn't sound like you're doing anything or making any good fucking choices. I'm so sick of just being like, yeah, I'm sure there's something good behind the curtain. As much as I talk shit, like, I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I was genuinely wondering about, like, what am I getting a second PS5 for downstairs? Not because there's anything out, because, like, I'm invested and I like video games, but do something. Since fucking before launch, you're just quietly doing everything. I guess it's working.
Yeah, to be fair, though, like, aren't you the advocate of don't announce anything until it's ready?
Well, no, don't make promises until you can keep them. Like, you can say we're working on this. There's a difference between... announcing and revealing, I guess. Like, you can say all you want, we're working on this game. You don't got to show me a lot. You just got to say, you know, oh, it's in development. I'm not entirely averse to being told that, oh, this, you know, Metro coming out. I don't like just the title card reveals that they beat the band for, because it's just a huge presentation for fucking nothing. It should be an offhand comment like they made with Elder Scrolls 6. Like, yeah, it's in development. You'll hear about it later.
The Elder Scrolls 6 was a pretty big announcement during that.
It was tacked on to the Xbox. And I think that's what made the difference for me. It was one of those Xboxes, you know, they're announcing, yes, they have this this kind of thing coming, but they haven't actually revealed anything. They haven't gone on stage and made a presentation about it or anything like that. They haven't tried to show us any trailers while it's still fucking in development, or any concept videos to try and get us excited for a game that hasn't been made yet. You're just letting us know what you're doing. That I don't have a problem with. When you show me a vague cinematic that has no gameplay 4 years before the game is supposed to be released, it's going to be fucking bullshit. This is you being like, oh, and, you know, in our hopes and dreams, then this is what it's going to be, but we don't know that it's actually going to be this. Don't show me anything solid unless it's there. And I think that's my big thing. Also, I'll admit, I'm not big on, don't show me the whole fucking game 3 years before you release it. I don't even know if it's going to be the same game. Yeah, but feel free to let me know you're working on it. I would love to know, you know, like, I like to know that I know that there's another Fable coming that hasn't really been announced. People know that they're working on it, and that's enough for me. So that's enough for me to be like, I'm excited about it. Then when they show the trailer, I'll be like, I'll decide whether or not
it was announced, and they showed a trailer, so they know.
They did.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, remember the little fairy?
They didn't show any gameplay or anything like that. Yeah, I guess. No.
They showed Tinkerbell getting eaten by a frog.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that was.
Yeah. By the way, I just started thinking about this. You know what reveal I liked? Obviously, the Fallout 4 one was fantastic, but I think I kind of liked the Resident Evil 2 remake one. It was very similar to Fallout, except one difference, right? They literally, Capcom said, like, oh, yeah, we're working on a, like, offhandedly, we're working on Resident Evil 2 remake. And people were like, wait, what do you mean Resident Evil 2 remake? Like, yeah, we'll talk about it when it's ready. 2 years later, they showed a trailer for it at E3, and it's like, oh, by the way, it's on the show floor now, and the game's coming out in 3 months. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. Fantastic.
That is the exact way to do it. We're working on it. Later, show you something. It's coming out soon, guys.
Yeah, dude, it even got to a point where we were like, wait, didn't Capcom say they were working on that? Because they didn't mention it at all. They said it one time buried it somewhere, like in a press release. Like, we're working on this, this, and that. People were like, wait, that says Resident Evil 2 remake. They're like, yeah, like, anything more? Nope. And they didn't say shit for 2 years until it was like, oh, yeah, it's coming out in 3 months. Go play now.
They did that thing. They did that thing where it's like, we make for you or yeah. Something like that.
Also, if I'm correct, not only did they have it ready, you know, at E3 for the journalists, but that they also had it ready for everybody else, like a demo on PSN. It's like, yep, go play. 3 months later, it'll be ready. Like, that's how you do it, you know. But here's the thing. I just kind of piggybacking off what you were saying, I just hope he's right. It's like, bro, I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to, but we do have to give both of them, even Xbox, a little bit of leeway with the whole Rona bullshit that was going on, and it's the beginning of a console generation. But it would have been nice to at least be like, hey, this is in the pipeline, guys. So I'm hoping he's right, because right now, like I said, I'm playing Returnal. I'm like, oh, shit. When was the last time I played this? The last time was literally November with Demon's Souls. That's the last time I played a new PlayStation 5 game, like an actual exclusive game, you know? And that's not good. So we definitely need something, you know?
It's going to be really hard for Jim Ryan to accomplish this, especially considering that third-party exclusives are kind of a way of the past.
Yeah.
Actually, they kind of don't really exist as much as they used to do. And not only that, but, you know, they shut down Japan studios, and a lot of smaller-sized studios. And they talked about, I don't know if this is part, if we're going to talk about this, or maybe we already talked about this some other day. But they're focusing more on AAA games.
Yeah.
Those games take way longer to make. They're few and far between. So I have no clue how they will accomplish this. Obviously, there's a story that we're going to cover a little bit later where that kind of stuff will come into fruition. We don't know about J. Raymond Studio, since they announced their studio unveiling in the PlayStation blog.
Yeah.
For some reason. Maybe that's another one of those things that's just going to trickle down and be a PlayStation exclusive. Well, obviously, we have Returnal and all of the first-party stuff. You know, Horizon, God of War, and Spider-Man, we might get those factories, you know, for this generation, like the Spider-Man factory, the God of War factory, the Horizon factory. I don't know. But it's really possible that they might do that. And those might be easier to replicate, you know, in a lesser time, just having the next iterations, like a few years in between instead of a lot of years.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a hard task because PlayStation had a shit ton of exclusives in the past generations. Yeah. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, it was a ton.
Yeah, 3, 4, like there's a lot of exclusives. So we'll see. I mean, right now it's still early and shit, but I hope he's right because, you know, it's like, yo, we got these new consoles and shit. We're trying to see some fucking games, you know?
But some people have the new consoles and shit. You hear that they keep talking about more delays with this shit.
Yeah. So. But it's funny because PlayStation is apparently selling like gangbusters, even though you know a good chunk of that is fucking scalpers and shit, you know? But that's a whole other issue. Adam, what do you think about that statement that PlayStation 5 is going to have more exclusives?
I think what's that thing when they tell you to do this and go, for the people who just listen, blowing in a hole?
Okay, I don't know
what you're talking about. Whoa, smoke up your ass. Holy shit. So,
just say you could curse on this show, Adam.
Can't say this shit. It's a family show. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. They're going to say whatever. They got the best games. They got the pretty girls. They got the big giant woman first. You know, he'll say whatever to get the hype. That's it. Oh, dude, Microsoft forgot all these studios. You know what? We're going to have more exclusives than those son of bitches. Do you know what they're worth? I don't give a shit. We're going to have more, and they're going to be better. Yeah, whatever.
Sounds like a wrestler, you know?
That's it. He's shooting a promo right now. Making it seem like his shit is the best. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's the best, yo.
Yeah, it'll be better. It would have been great if when he said that, then he said, go to PlayStation.com/buttergames and see all the trailers. Then he's like, oh, shit, he's not just blowing smoke up my ass. He actually has shit to show. He's got nothing right now.
PlayStation.com/buttergames.
Dude, it's such an easy promise to fake because he's promising by the end of the generation that they're going to have more exclusives. Number one, that's a ways off from here. Number two, who's going to be following up on him? And number three,
we will.
Even if we point it out, no, who's going to fucking hold this guy accountable? Nobody. Yeah.
He may not even have a job by then. He may not even be there. You know,
leave and go do something else like GameStop or some
the
shit.
The thing is, he's been at PlayStation forever, so you know, I don't think he's going to be leaving the company, but maybe he'll get a Windows. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
Jim Ryan's not a new guy, he's been around, you know.
Yeah, but there's a new role and he's fucking up, so
man, yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say about the exclusive claim?
I mean, it is whatever it is. I mean, it's like, okay, whatever. You know?
Yeah. Chris, you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, he had to make a statement when it looks like they're losing exclusives, you know? He had to say something, but yeah, I agree. He's blowing smoke up everybody's ass. That doesn't make sense to me.
Like, oh, they got that, we got this, and it's bigger and better. PlayStation. Yeah. Pretty much what it is. You know what? I'm going to jump right to the next story because it's related to this. So today, literally today, one of the things, okay, by the way, before we even start that, one of the things we've always said on the show, and we've been saying this forever, right? One of the things that PlayStation lacks is a multiplayer game to call its own. We're not talking about, you know, some tacked on stuff like, you know, the Last of Us multiplayer or Uncharted. We're talking about a dedicated multiplayer game. Sony does not have that. Well, they're working on it with this new, it's a brand new studio called Firewalk Studios, and they're planning to make a AAA multiplayer game. And it has ex-developers that worked on Halo, Destiny, Apex Legends, and Call of Duty. And they're throwing money at it. It's not going to be some little indie thing like that fucking Destruction All-Stars game. Like, it's going to be big. We don't know what the game's going to be. The game may be bullshit. But I appreciate the effort, at least. And I'm not even a multiplayer guy, but I'm like, yeah, there's Sony. This is, on your portfolio, this is a clear mark that you're missing here. You know, like, all your multiplayer games are tacked on. Even the Ghost of Tsushima one, good multiplayer, tacked on. Not a dedicated one. So this is good to know. You know, go ahead, Manny.
My only issue with this thing is it's kind of bullshit. Because it's like, hey, we got this company working on a game. So? Who are these people? I don't know who these people are. There's nothing to get excited for. It's just a bunch of fucking words.
It feels like they slapped all this together in a week.
I just doesn't like. I mean, like, oh, I'm a Stop the presses! They're working on something. We don't know what it is, but stop the presses! Come on, guys. Eh. If they said Jade Raymond is doing that game, then you'd be like, "Oh, okay. Yeah. What's that? That means something." These, you know, nameless Halo guys. That's great. You know, whatever companies that they worked at, that's cool. But that doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
that's not a press release.
By the way, I could tell you what these guys worked on. They listed here if you're interested.
It just shows they have experience, which is good.
Manny, because remember, you said you want to know who these people are. I could tell you who these people are.
Well, here's the thing. Were they anybody of importance at these studios?
I could read them to you. It's up to you, man, if you want me to read them.
Go for it.
All right, but, so it says Ryan Ellis. Because I can already tell you just don't care because it's a multiplayer game, you know?
It's a multiplayer game, and then it doesn't have, like, and I'm sure the names that you're going to be mentioning are probably going to be ones that nobody's ever heard of. It's like, all right. A bunch of people got frustrated working at all these other big studios and made it a studio. Okay, what is it?
Yeah. But yeah, the main game director guy, he was the creative director on Destiny. You know, so that's not a little small game there.
All right, creative director on Destiny.
Yeah.
The creative director on Destiny.
Yeah.
Let me just point out what a terrible job he did.
Destiny was one of the biggest selling games of last generation, dude.
Well, yeah. Do you think the creative direction in it was good, or do you think it was the rest of the fucking game?
The creative direction on that game was designed by committee. So I don't know how much power that guy had, but obviously he didn't have a lot of power because he's not working at Bungie anymore. All right, next one.
Yeah. This one's a weird one. Elena, what's her name? Siegman. Okay, Bioshock Infinite. All right, that's a good one. Producer on that.
She makes sure that people do their job. Yeah. All right.
The funny thing is, those are the only two they mention in this one. Then it said the rest of the team worked on Mass Effect, Apex Legends, Call of Duty, Destiny. So there you go. But again, the big point is, like, and the reason people are excited, because obviously a lot of us in here don't give a shit about this, but a lot of people are excited because, like, hey, Sony's going to have a AAA multiplayer game finally. They've never had that for a long time, you know? It's been since the PS3 days, I think it was, like, where they had Warhawk and shit like that, you know?
That's where Brian goes in. There was something called MAG.
Yeah, MAG. That was a lot. That's like one of the last ones, but I'm saying it's been like, how long, Brian? 13 years since that fucking game? Like, it's been a long time. Yeah, Brian, what's your take on this? Because you've said that too. Like, Sony doesn't have a multiplayer game to call its own.
My thoughts are very mixed. On the first hand, it's like, I don't think that the Sony fan base are itching for a multiplayer title. Because again, Destruction All-Stars, I just looked up on Twitch, it has no viewers.
Damn.
Like, no. That game launched last month for free on the service that everyone has on PlayStation, and yet no one's watching it. So I don't think they are clamoring for it. And looking at the names that you just mentioned of the guys that worked on the different games, they're all first-person games, if you noticed.
That's right.
Call of Duty, Destiny, Bioshock Infinite. So it's a
good point.
Not a safe assumption, but it's not a wrong assumption to say that this game is most likely first-person.
I'm going to agree with you.
Which means that you'll be competing with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
On the multiplayer front, which is one of the biggest hills to climb, because the only other biggest hill is competing with GTA or competing with Fortnite. So this game has better be something special or else it'll just be dead by the wayside.
Ooh, I'm going to say this. I'm glad you bring up that point. The only other first-person game that, not as big as Call of Duty, obviously, but is up there, is Overwatch, and that's a whole other thing. So this game, and Manny, you and I talked about this, if they're going to do this, they need to do something that stands apart. Don't make another Fortnite. Don't make another Call of Duty. Don't make another Overwatch. You got to do something that people obviously like, you know, which is just running around killing each other, but you got to do it in a way that's different than everybody else, you know? Apex Legends, another one, first-person game, but people like it, you know? So they got to find
it. Do anything else?
Yeah, so they, yeah, no, or, they, I mean, they, the, yeah, they, I mean, I think,
or
yeah,
that other,
yeah, I mean, people like Apex just because it controls well, you know, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm a little worried about this because in general, when we talk about AAA, we also talk about unimaginative bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and we're spending a bunch of money. So what does that mean? A bunch of people that don't, who shouldn't be have any say, start saying this should be this and this should be that. Just a little suspect. You know, I mean, the last experience we had on multiplayer was that Rocket League Fortnite bullshit that they put out not long ago.
All-Stars, yeah.
So if that's any sign, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to bring see. That bring up all stars. Can I just tell you a story real quick?
Sure.
There once was a game touted to be the next great revolution in RPGs. It was headed by people who had run and headlined some of the biggest RPGs in the last 10 years. It had the art done by Todd McFarlane and the story done by renowned author R.A. Salvatore, and was backed by millions of dollars of baseball money. It fucking failed. For the same reason PlayStation All-Stars failed. You cannot manufacture lightning in a bottle. I don't care how many talented, overpaid people you put in a room, you're going to end up with some soulless abomination, because that's how it always fucking works. And then maybe this will be the one time that it's different, but when I hear a laundry list of names from people from other successful games, it sounds like somebody's just throwing money at stuff, putting a bunch of talented people in a room and be like, there, that's guaranteed success, right? No. No, the way you find new and innovative games is by fishing through some of the experimental ideas and adopting them, bringing up people from the ground floor. And, like Portal. Portal was a tech demo that got turned into a video game. That's where you find your gold. You don't just take a bunch of successful people and throw them in a room, because there's a good chance that they're not the ones who had the lightning in the bottle in the first place.
Yeah. By the way, I do need to mention this about Kingdoms of Amalur. Were it any other game, it actually would have been a success, but they spent so much money on it that it didn't break even though it sold millions of copies. So it's a weird situation with that game. The game actually did well, but not enough to pay back how much they spent on it, you know?
And Tony, I just want to point out, not just baseball money, Brett, but the taxpayers of Rhode Island.
There was that thing too. Yeah. But let me ask you, Tony, with the names, because I guarantee you this just got put together. This is a response. This isn't something that they've been keeping quiet.
Of course. They said it's been the studio's been around for like 3 years or something. But listen, again, they know their deficiencies, so they're like, okay, let's just cobble all these guys together and throw money at it and see what happens. It's obvious what's going on here.
Yeah, and so that they're going to have a bloated budget for the video game itself. This Sony's could be throwing money at this.
This could be another Crucible situation. We saw that. I've never seen anything like Crucible in my life. So this game, it was the first game from Amazon Games, right? I reviewed this fucking game 2 weeks after my review went out. They removed half the features because not enough people are using them. And then they pulled the game back, like, okay, we're pulling it back. We're not going to have it available anymore. And then they canceled it. I'm like, I've never seen – it's like literally putting like a child back into the womb after it's been born. It's like, wait, what? What the fuck is this shit? So, that's another example. Like, Amazon has money to throw a bunch of people that were famous worked on that fucking game. Look what happened, you know? So I'm not saying – this is going to be a definitive success. I'm just saying it's good that Sony's at least trying, because they're deficient in this field,
Yeah, they're definitely lacking in that area. Out of most, I mean, the third person, I think a lot of us criticize Sony because they released the similar type games and those are their big hitters.
Yeah.
So whether this game is going to succeed or fail, I think it's important to at least try, and it's not like a studio like Naughty Dog or Sony Santa Monica, or like they're just getting this new studio. It's PlayStation's initiative, that's gonna do this. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like, you can have the biggest names ever, and it could still fail. Like, you can Cliffy B has made a whole bunch of clunkers recently. The best names always fail eventually, so it's all vaporware until we see a trailer and we're like, okay, so let's judge what it looks like, and then we'll judge the gameplay, and then we'll judge the game itself. At this moment, I think it's just important to know that they're working on something that's not a third person shooter narrative game.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. It's like, you got to at least give them credit for trying. You can't be like, fuck it, don't try at all. It's like, that's kind of stupid too. Just saying
I have an issue with it just being an announcement and nothing to show.
Yeah.
Not even, nothing. So that means that you're just like, okay, we're working on this game. What is it going to be? 2-3 years out? So it's like, why even bother at this point in time? Why not wait until you actually have something of substance to show and then say, hey, we're working on this crazy ass new multiplayer game. Here's what we're here's a concept video of what that shit looks like.
Yeah. Brett, I want your take on that, because you literally just said you'd rather have just an announcement like this than a trailer for something that may not be out for a bunch of years. What do you say about that?
Oh, I would. If they put a trailer out, I would be fucking furious right now. It's clear that they have no idea what the fuck they're doing. They're trying to conceptualize something. They didn't give any information about the game. They just threw us a bunch of, you know, like, oh, a bunch of successful people are in the room. You know, they're going to make something cool. And I'm not saying that they're not going to. They very well could. But as we've all kind of said, like, having a success in the past doesn't necessarily translate into success in the future unless you are definitely the talent for that. So basically all these names mean is nothing. It could be a good game. It could be a bad game. It's not, you know, it's not a bonus to their category. It's not a negative. It's just whatever. Yeah. So, you know, cool that they told us, but, you know, this is information I would have liked 2-3 years ago, especially if the studio's 3 years old. Sony should have come out and said the studio's 3 years. Like, I feel like
they're not a Sony studio.
Yeah, they're not.
So they probably they've recently just partnered or something.
Yeah, it specifically says partnered in the title, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if they were doing something before. Like, has this been in development? Does anybody know anything about this?
No, this is their first game, apparently. So we don't know anything. It's a brand new studio, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm just surprised that if all these people were on the ground floor launching this studio, that nobody did anything about it. Nobody said anything about it. But anyway, so yeah, man, this just sounds reactive. So yes, please just tell me what you did. That's fine. Don't show me a half baked trailer and make a bunch of promises you can't keep.
Yeah, well, they didn't do that. At least they were like, okay, this studio's working on a game. That's it.
Yeah,
you know,
the only criticism I can give is I don't think they're trying the right way. Like, I think this is a very corporate way to try, yeah. And I don't think it leads to very good success. As I've already said, like, I think that if you want imagination and, you know, new, fresh ideas, you need to get imaginative, new, fresh people. So I don't – this just feels like the whole thing's being built by committee. It just – like I said, it feels very corporate. So don't have a lot of faith in the way that they're trying. I mean, good for you for trying. Just don't, like, spend a bunch of money on this, and then if it doesn't work, be like, well, this is clearly not what our audience wants.
That could happen too.
Oh, no, that's my fear.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have anything to say about this? Guess that's it. There's not much to say. Like, hey, Sony's working on actual multiplayer game. Good on them. That's all we could really say. You know, we'll see what happens. We're doing something. You know, there's another point I was going to make, but I totally fucking lost it. All right. What's the next thing we're talking about here? More PlayStation news, people. I actually set it up like that. We're going to talk about PlayStation and some Xbox stuff. Next thing here, follow up story. So, you know, this was like 2 weeks ago. Sony announced that it was going to be closing the PlayStation 3, Vita, and PSP stores. Well, they came out to say, they flat out said, yeah, we were fucked. We fucked up. We shouldn't have.
Jim Ryan,
out of all people, said, like, yeah, that was a bad call.
He actually said that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he's the Pope. You know, that's why you made him the Pope.
That's why he's the Pope on our featured image.
Oh, man. Hey, listen. Most of us are from Catholic backgrounds. We can get away with that shit, all right? You know, Spiritu Santo, blah, 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 all that other shit. So, yeah, Jim Ryan, like, good on him. He admitted it. They fucked up. So PS3 store and Vita stores will not be closing. PSP stores will be closing. But as Manny said, you could get those games on the Vita anyway. Yes. So you're good, you know.
The only other question, and I raised this question on Twitter when you posted this, was the fact, does that mean that the companies that they didn't tell
were going to
close down their studios, does that mean they're going to go back to developing games for the PlayStation Vita? What's going on?
By the way, one of those studios, one of the guys working on those games is Colin Moriarty.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. But I want to know that. I'm like, okay, because a bunch of these developers, they woke up and they just heard the news like we did. You know, it's like, oh, shit. No more Vita. I mean, our games are canceled, effectively. So when are those games going to be back in production? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? I mean, like, you know, making these on-the-spot decisions, obviously. Just, hey, close out the store. Don't tell anybody we're doing it either. Everybody's gonna find out what we're doing. It's like, you know. Then Shuei Ishida's the guy who's looking over all the indie games. Why didn't he go, Jim, I know you really want to do this, but we have like 20 different companies that are going to release release games on this, and we haven't actually told them. Just close it down. Close that down.
That was when he was Dr. Evil, you know?
That was when he was Dr. Evil. Now he's the Pope.
Now he's the Pope. No. I am the Pope. I have no hope. Was that Gilbert Gottfried, right?
It's Gilbert Gottfried's Bela Lugosi impression.
Yeah. Why does he sound like that?
I am the Pope.
I am the Pope.
I have no home. It's funny. He does cameos now, right? And you can actually get him to do the Bela Lugosi impression. He's like, welcome.
It's hilarious.
Is the Pope like a sarcastic thing? Like, I mean, I know he's not actually the Pope, but like, it's tongue in cheek, right? Like, people aren't actually being like, he's our savior for reversing a decision.
They know it's Gilbert Gottfried doing that, you know?
No. He's talking about Ryan is the Pope or Gilbert Gottfried is the Pope?
He's talking about Gilbert Gottfried. He didn't see the image.
Oh, okay.
I have no hope.
I have no hope. No, because the thing is, like, he was making fun of John Paul II. Like, and, you know, John Paul II used to have, like, an accent. So the way he interpreted it, he just did a Bela Lugosi impression.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Oh, man. What the fuck are you talking about? PlayStation. Yeah, so good on them. Good on them. They're keeping the stores. I thought, this is what I thought was happening. Conspiracy theory time. I thought that Sony was going to just closing those down so they could roll them over into their version of a Game Pass that may or may not be being worked on. That's my conspiracy theory, but I guess I was wrong because they're still keeping them open. You know, for now.
I think you're still right.
Yeah,
they got to be working on some sort of Game Pass competitor.
Hopefully.
If they're not, they're just being dumb.
Yeah.
Tell us.
They got to be.
Uh-oh.
They gotta beef up that whatever the hell that PlayStation Now thing. I mean, PlayStation Now has been around since PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, the hilarious thing is that PlayStation Now did all the different things that Xbox is talking about with Game Pass. Hey, putting it in your TV, putting it on an application. Yeah. They were talking about that 10 years ago.
Yeah, but it was all streaming. It wasn't download.
It was all streaming.
It added where you can download it. Still be relevant now. People definitely would have
been like, because you can only download the PS4 games. That's it. You know,
the four games you can download. The three games are streaming.
Yeah. Some people say, oh, you can. Oh, go ahead, Bray. Go ahead.
So PlayStation had all this, and then just sat on its laurels, didn't let you want to download games, and let Microsoft run up all with this whole thing into a service.
Basically,
this is irony. You know, it's funny because remember that was their solution to backwards compatibility
What's it called?
PlayStation Now. That's what it was.
No, it was Gaikai. It was a company that they bought. It was Gaikai, right?
Gaikai. Yeah, it was Gaikai. Yeah.
They bought them and.
All right. So I mean, we're now it's like to what whenever they decide to close it down in the future. I mean, that doesn't mean that the stores are going to get any sort of updates. I mean, you know, if you've gone onto the PlayStation, you know, fired up your old PlayStation 3. I mean, the store works, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes that shit crashes.
Oh,
you know, so they're not. I'm sure they're not going to do it. Just going to leave it as is. You know, as janky as it is, but you know, it would be nice if they, you know, cleaned up a little bit. You know, swept up the floors. You know, mopped a bit. You know, shined it up a little. But they're just going to leave it there, like a, you know. So, but at least it won't be closed, and at least you can get those games.
Yeah.
Still probably better than Microsoft.
Kish echoes, I need to see receipts if you bitch and complain, then don't buy anything when the store's open again. No, you don't. You could complain and not have to buy anything. You know, you see, and I'm glad you say that because a lot of people who say that miss the point, right? The reason people were complaining, besides the fact that they didn't want to buy something, they're complaining because Sony was just flagrantly disregarding their back catalog, not even giving a fuck about their legacy. That's the big issue. You can't just look at it on like, oh, you can't complain. You weren't buying anything. That's not the point. The point is that you can't just throw your whole legacy away like that, just flippantly, you know? That's what we were upset about. That's what I was upset about. I'm like, Sony, you have this vast legacy. What the fuck is wrong with you, you know? So that's what the real complaint came about, not just because, like, oh, you have to buy a game now. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude. It's like, it's not even about that.
You know? I mean, to be honest, it's like,
what happened?
Good.
I just said I can and will complain whatever I damn well please.
Yeah. But, but my thing is, I was just like, you need to see the bigger picture here. It's not just like, oh, you can't buy PS3 games. It's just the disregard for generations of games, you know?
I mean, literally, they have, you know, they have stuff for all going all the way back to PlayStation 1 on there.
One, yeah.
A lot of PlayStation games that have never been ported or anything. They just sit there on the PlayStation 1, you know?
Yeah,
go ahead, Chris. You know, on the store. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say that developers and investors probably found out before the press release came out to us. Like, internally, that news that the stores were going to stay on went out because developers were the most pissed.
Yeah.
Like, there are guys who bought Vita dev kits, like, at the beginning of this year, only to find out a couple months later that Sony was just closing the store. That's complete bullshit. They must have been threatening lawsuits at that point. Like, I'd be like, I invested thousands of dollars and you're telling me I won't get to release my game. I can't release it physically because you don't produce cartridges anymore. And I only have a digital option. You're removing that digital option. That's complete bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I think that pressure. So Jim Ryan probably or Sony higher ups talked to these people and said, okay, we're keeping the store open. You can keep your projects going or whatever, just to save face in that respect. And maybe threw them a bone like, oh, we'll help you with development and whatnot, or access or some shit. But they must have talked to these guys first before he put out that press release, like, oh, I'm my bad, guys, whoops, I didn't realize you cared. Like, yeah, we cared, motherfucker. Like, what do you think? Like, you were walking around saying, you know, who cares, we're only looking forward. It's like, you're the only one, Jim, you're the only one looking that way, considering that your new console is completely being used as a PS4 Pro Plus at this point, because you got nothing new. So that is a completely ridiculous statement. That was a completely boneheaded move. I still don't like him. I still think he's a moron. So, I don't care. He apologized. It's like, good. You realize you made a boneheaded mistake. The Earth fucking told you that. And you screwed over not only customers, you were intending to screw over customers. You got them pissed off. You got your probably investors pissed off. You got developers pissed off because they invested thousands of dollars to make you something, and you went, fuck you guys. I'm just shutting this off because I don't feel like upkeeping it. You know, the pennies that it would take to keep these servers. Fuck it. You know, so I don't have any sympathy for them. Fuck them.
Tell me how you really feel, man. All right. So there you go. So the stores will stay open and Riku can sleep better at night.
Yo, man, he can play Moondiver now.
You know?
And yes. And the next time, I'd say this, the next time, whenever he does want to shut these off, at least have the courtesy to pad it out by like a year or something. Yeah, at least do what Nintendo did. Even though it sucked, they shut off their eShop and whatever for the DS and the Wii. They gave like almost a 2-year window. Like, hey guys, we're going to shut this off. And there was a grace period when they were shutting it off. Like, you could still download your games, but you can't make purchases. But there was like even a month or two where you could like, hey, just download your games now and we're going to turn this completely off. Give people lead up, not like, you know, you got 2 months, guys. 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
There was one PSP game that never made it to the Vita store, but you had to do a whole little trick to get it to work. And that was the Def Jam Fight for New York, that takeover one. That was awesome. I love that game. And that was not in the Vita store. So you would have to go on the PS3. Or you can, you were able to do it through the PlayStation on the website, but I think that's been shut off a long time ago. They shut that off. So you would have to go on the PS3 in the store from there and then do a search for the game and then purchase it. And
you'd then probably connect
your Vita to the PS3 and then send it in that way.
quite a bit of titles are somewhat like that, where you have to, you know, buy it through the PlayStation 3, hook your Vita or, you know, to it, and then move it over that way, because it's not usually, it's also, the you know, the Vita store is really difficult to do searches on.
So if you want that game, that was a fun wrestling slash fighting game, then that's, you know, go grab it now, because I'm assuming that once that the PSP store does close, when you're on the PS3, that section probably won't be there in the store section. So
I don't know if it won't be there. I mean, it would suspect, because it still works for it.
Well, they said that the PSP store is definitely going away. So I'm assuming that all those games won't be, when you go to the PS3 store, you just won't see PSP games.
I don't know about that. I feel like if they're just ending support for the PSP, you know, the whatever their little connector is, but who knows? It probably needs a little bit more clarification. You know, maybe somebody over, you know, needs to ask the right question to Jim Ryan and be like, hey, where you're closing down that store. So what does that mean? Can you still get those games on the Vita? You know, I don't know what this Vita thing is. I'm concerned about PlayStation 5. All of this other stuff. It's throw it out loud. It's all been before my time. All those other guys that got fired and left.
They've been future endeavored.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Let's move on.
Wish them good luck on their future endeavors.
Another PlayStation story. This one was funny. This happened over the weekend. Motherfuckers went crazy. Right. Okay. So this is interesting. I'm getting a lot of this information off of PlayStation Lifestyle, which is a very good website. So. A while ago, I didn't know this. I don't know if we covered this on the show or not.
But, is it C-Modes?
Capcom was like a victim of a ransomware attack, right? A bunch of documents got leaked, and one of them was the contract for the exclusivity deal with Resident Evil Village and PlayStation, right? So people took this one, and I'll read it right here, this one phrase, and went fucking bananas. But... you know, this is not what you think it is, but I'll read it. During the term, and this is from a feature, it's called Feature Content and Technical Parity Clause. During the term and for 7 years thereafter, publisher will ensure each version of the game, Resident Evil Village, available on PlayStation platforms, maintains content, feature, and technical parity subject to material platform limitations with any equivalent versions of the game or DLC released on any other competitive platform or PC/mobile platform. Publisher will not release the game on any DLC or any competitive platforms or PC mobile platforms on an exclusive basis or offer any additional content or any additional features or benefits to end users of the game, any competitive platform, PC on an exclusive basis. So basically, you know, what it seems like, hey, listen, PlayStation gets all the shit first, and then it comes other things later, right? But this would also prevent the game from being on Game Pass, right? That's the part. It was two things that the Xbox side specifically got pissed off about, that the game can't come to Game Pass because of the exclusivity deal, and they believed that the game was going to be purposely made inferior on Xbox to make it look better on PlayStation, right? Everybody went fucking crazy. Then Daniel Ahmad, who's an industry analyst guy, he's pretty spot on. He's like, hey guys, this document literally has the exact same phrasing that every other exclusivity document ever has had for any of these consoles. So because people thought Sony was doing some shady shit, no, it's the same wording that everybody's used. Microsoft apparently had the same wording in another document that wasn't even about an exclusive deal. So it was a lot of big to do about nothing, basically, you know. But you know how fanboys get, man. So it was very amusing to see that. But and then also Richard Hoag, he does Hoag's Law. I want to get him on Throwdown. He's a very knowledgeable guy. He does he talks about video games from a lawyer standpoint, and he broke the whole shit down. It's like, guys, these kind of documents are commonplace, you know? Really good stuff, but it was just kind of funny to see these people just losing their fucking minds. You say the word exclusive to fanboys, and it's like, you know? And it's also, Manny, you were saying about this is business, man. This is the way it is. Just the way Microsoft bought Bethesda. That's business. That's how shit works, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we keep saying that there is no console war, but there is to an extent where it's like they're trying to outdo and get people to go to the other, right? They want to get people to come here and want people to come there. So they're going to make these sorts of deals to sort of, you know, to essentially get more you know, in more of an install base.
Yeah, and this is why you're seeing the demos right on PlayStation.
You see the demo on the PlayStation, and it's coming to everything else.
Yeah. So I saw this PlayStation first. So nothing to see here, as they say, you know. But kind of interesting just seeing the fucking fans just losing their minds, you know.
No, the one thing about, like, I think that the thing for a lot of people is because people do not usually see these things, right? And they get all appalled about how this sort of stuff does. But it's always been happening this way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not anything new. The only difference, you know, the only difference is the fact that you never saw it before.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right, yeah. Most people do not see that, but guys who see this are like, yeah, this is the same exact wording. There's no difference, you know?
I think there's a lot of things in the industry that people don't see that are just commonplace, you know?
Yeah.
Contracts you sign, gag order, rhetoric that you need to sign whenever you take on a project. You know, non-disclosure agreements, all kinds of these things that did happen whenever, you know. So it's like, you know, when those guys say, oh, yeah, I can't talk about this. They legally can't talk about that they'll get fucking sued.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, you know.
Exactly. All right. Moving on. Now we're going to talk about Xbox, baby. Moving on to the next one. I should make my background green for this one, right?
You're getting green?
I should be. Let me read this first and I'll do that. So Xbox Game Pass has surpassed 23 million subscribers.
Whoa!
Pretty big shit. And a lot of them, a good chunk, not of the 23, but I think it was like 5 or 6 million right after the Bethesda deal. What do we tell you guys, man? Yeah, what do we tell you guys?
You got to have those big tentpole things. You get people in the seat, you know. PlayStation's got a Resident Evil thing. What does Microsoft got? A big old Bethesda drop.
Right? You know? Right? So, I mean, there's not really much to say about this. It's pretty cool. Adam, how you doing over there, man?
Yeah.
Adam, you know, you're on your sleepy drugs right now.
Yeah, for people don't know. I'm on an antibiotic. I caught an infection in my finger, so I had to take an antibiotic, and it caused this drowsiness. And I told Tony, if I start slurring, if I look up, dip, dabba.
You know? We're going to have to get Mean Gene behind you to wake you up, you know?
Hey, Mean Gene.
What, Mean Gene?
So, okay,
talk to racist.
Oh, man.
So in January, there were 18 million. Now it's 23 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fucking good, man.
That's a lot of people forgetting about their subscription. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just had to do that one.
Yeah,
I wonder how many.
It's not as cheap. It's still $14.99.
Yeah, for Ultimate. Go ahead, Carlos. Yeah.
I wonder how many people are still subscribed to Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, right.
Because are still potential, you know, customers that are gonna, you know, convert over.
They converted their profile. They did mine. They converted my gold into. I think it was like six. Yeah, it was like 6 months I had left, and they said, "Oh, we're switching it over to the Ultimate. Your last 6 months or whatever."
Oh, Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah. Adam?
Oh shit. Yeah. Okay.
That doesn't make sense because they had like over 70 million like Xbox Live Gold users, and they only have 20 million Game Pass users.
Yeah. For mine, unless those people just didn't sign up for it, you could opt out of it.
Adam got the email.
You know, 70 million Xbox Live Gold users. You know how many of those are like just recurring monthly people who don't know they're paying for this stuff?
Hold on, 70 million, isn't it 90 million? Last time I checked,
it was a lot. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was a lot.
Yeah,
it was double. It was more than double in the consoles they sold last generation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Remember that was the big deal that everybody was buying up the 12-month gold subscriptions.
Right.
And it was being converted into Ultimate. If you had levels stacked.
I don't think you can buy those anymore.
No, you can't.
They were gone. So that's why people were buying them and stacking them up. Because they're like, oh, they're converting it. They're giving everybody the goods if you had it. So
I just find it hard to see that Microsoft just, because either they converted everyone that had Xbox Live Gold, or they just, you know, discontinued everyone that had Xbox Live Gold and was recurring. I doubt Microsoft would ever. Something like that.
Yo, Carlos, this is from September 26, 2020. 100 million Xbox Live. Yeah. So there you go, man.
Yeah, and that's why I said the math just doesn't, even if what Adam says is right, and they transferred everyone that had Xbox Live Gold to Game Pass Ultimate, it doesn't make sense that only 23 million have it right now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
You could be a sub and not pay anything. Are they counting as everyone that subscribed? Because remember, you could still have an Xbox Live account and not pay anything. So I wonder if they're just saying, hey, we have this amount of subs.
How many are paid? PCs as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that's yeah, you could all have a PC sub and not pay shit.
Yeah, that's what. Well, that's what I'm saying. You say there are only so many consoles. Well, are you taking into account? I mean, just about everybody who owns an Xbox is going to have Xbox Gold, and then a bunch of people that have PCs are going to have Xbox Gold. So you could have more subscriptions than you do consoles.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of crazy. But I don't know. I don't know what you're saying, but we agree.
What happened?
How many people do you think own a PlayStation and not PlayStation Plus?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Probably
you
not.
Can see it. Though, right? They shame you. They shame you on a PlayStation because you see the little plus logo next to their name if they don't have it.
We're not doubting the numbers. Like we actually think they're pretty legitimate. Like 100 million sounds like right because they've had Xbox Live Gold since fucking Xbox One days. So it makes sense that they'd have like 100 million subs. The thing with me is I don't know how if it's true that they converted all of these Xbox Live Gold subs into Game Pass. It doesn't make sense that Game Pass only has 23 million.
Yeah.
It would seem to me, it would seem it would need a lot more. It takes a lot of effort to just say, hey, don't just cancel my subscription. Because a lot of those subscriptions that they already had were people just paying over and over again without them even noticing.
Yes, we are. So I guess it's not rolling over, but still impressive numbers. I think Jez, because Jez predicted this, Jez Corden from Windows Central, he predicted this a while ago. Now he says it's easily going to surpass 30 million by the end of the year. I think so. I believe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's 4 months, 5 million. It might do it by this summer if it keeps going at that rate, you know? Who knows? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it keeps going at that rate, you know?
Halo's going to come out too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, when Halo drops, forget about it, you know? Although, Carlos, you just gave me the ill segue right now, bro. Halo 5 Infinite, right? Halo 6 Infinite, I guess, whatever the fuck it's called. That game, the multiplayer aspect of it, it's free to play, right?
Oh.
You know that, right? It's free to play. But now it's really going to be free to play because you no longer need Xbox Live to play games online for free. So,
right.
You still need it. Some games that are free to play, but you still need it if you're going to play like the sport games and shit like that.
Yeah, but you don't need to pay for it anymore. Like if you're playing Fortnite, you don't need to pay for Xbox Live.
Yeah,
you know?
The free to play games. Yeah.
Free to play games. So free to play games like Halo Infinite, the multiplayer aspect of it, no longer. And we've been talking about this for fucking years. You know, like when is Xbox going to do this shit? But I think they had to after, it was revealed that they were going to up the price and shit. People were not happy about that, you know. You're like, what the fuck? You know, so I guess shout out to Xbox for doing something they should have done a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a few years. How many years?
I don't know. Yeah, because I remember during the whole Fortnite fucking like brouhaha, like, oh, how come PlayStation isn't allowing crossplay, right? And then people were like, how come Xbox is charging for this free game? Like, nobody was talking about that part, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of interesting how, like, because, yeah, we were talking about that on the show before that, but we were just like, what's going on here? Why are people having to pay for Xbox Live? And the thing is, most Xbox Live users, they didn't realize it. They're like, okay, they've just been paying for it the entire time, you know? So, they didn't realize that they needed that to play these games, you know? But good on Xbox. I mean, there's not really much.
It became an issue with Netflix. That was when.
Yeah, you needed like, that shit, too. Yeah,
you needed Xbox Live just to fucking play Netflix.
Yeah. So there you go. Good stuff there. All right. Moving on. Next story. You know, Xbox Cloud Gaming. You know, Project X Cloud for Windows 10 and iOS limited beta launch. So. Carlos, you were talking about this in the Discord, I believe, right? What's going on with this? Because wasn't this thing already like a done deal? Like, I thought it was already available on PC and shit. Or is it the iOS component that's the news?
No, it was only available, if I recall correctly, it was only available on Android.
Yeah.
Some Android too, not all Androids.
So the new Z part is the fact that it's on iOS now, right?
So I think it's on iOS via web browser.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the beta is about because I didn't get invited. So I'm like, you're fucking.
Oh, you know.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. But I think you can access it via web browser, Safari. You know, Safari is the main web browser used on iOS operating systems and Mac OS also. Yeah, I think they're gonna go forward with the iOS app for Game Pass, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh shit.
Well, at least I thought they would announce it something like in the Apple press conference. It'd be something cool, like a cool collaboration for them to do.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they
wanted to test all the expensive bullshit.
Yeah, their little tags and their M1 chips that are taking over all their devices. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the actual app, but you can play Game Pass via web browser on any iOS system with this new update.
And people, what are you talking about, Nitch? He goes, you don't have to do the dollar trials anymore. If you do the reward point and get 12,000 points, you can turn. Oh, fuck, I missed the message. You can turn it to one month of Ultimate. I've been doing it for 9 months. I paid a dollar once and free the last 8 months. Okay, I guess he found a trick. You know, interesting. All right, so yeah, there you go. There's that. And
GZDR, let us know in the Discord how to do that. So, because my thing runs out in the end of the year.
Yeah, let us know, man. So hit us up in the Discord. We can figure that out. But yeah, it's good. Project X Todd on more thing. Again, this is what Microsoft wants to do. They want to get Xbox Game Pass on everything. You know, that's the goal here, people. Just telling you.
Really want it. I hope it does go get on Android, because that thing, it's on Android phones, but it's not on all their tablets and their Android TV. There's a way to backdoor, but it doesn't look right because it's still in the phone ratio. And
yeah.
Stuff. I use my Nvidia Shield. I love that shit. So if they get that on there, then I'll be a happy person.
That shit will be legit, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's not available on Google TV.
Well, yeah.
Because I have the Chromecast with Google TV, mm-hmm. and I needed to sideload that app in order to.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
So, I mean, it's a matter of time. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next story. There's another follow up. Got a few follow ups tonight, man. So, Discord will not be selling to Microsoft after all. You know, so mm-hmm. we're saved. This podcast is saved for now. You know, we were worried about that. Like, fuck, man, what's going to happen? Because we saw what happened when Microsoft bought Skype. Not good, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on here? I think they're staying independent, I believe, for now.
Yes.
Doesn't mean somebody else can't swoop in, you know, but then we talk about this. Like, they would probably make more money just being independent, just going public or something, instead of just selling.
Yeah, so they
got to... out of the shareholder.
I'll let you stock guys handle this part. You know? Because isn't that what you speculate? It's like they would stand to make more money if they went, you know, public, you know, instead of just selling to somebody else.
Yeah, there were talks about selling to 10 billion to Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I think a company like this, if they ever do an IPO, I think their evaluation will go way higher than that. So
yeah.
If any of these people want to make money off of these types of deals, they can just go public and sell their shares in day one and just make
I mean, it's a short-term gain of just selling to Microsoft, where it's like that's a fixed value that you know you're going to get. And it's possible in the negotiation, Microsoft was like, if you want IPO, it's difficult and you're not going to make as much as you think and you have to compete with this, whatever. I mean, probably they're feeding them a lot of bullshit. So I think they were like, yeah, you know what? We'll probably do better public. So, you know, no deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get valuated at 70 or 80 billion compared to getting 10 billion, it's like, come on.
And remember what happened with Roblox, you know, when that shit went public, 45 mm-hmm. billion, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were, I think Roblox was evaluated as 30 billion before it went like, a couple of months before it went on IPO, and then that IPO just boosted it up like a few months later just by more than 10 billion.
Yeah, that shit is wild. So there you go. For now, Discord is safe for Microsoft's evil clutches. You know. All right. Next story here is Brett. I threw this one in here for you, man.
See if I can. Oh shit!
Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic is being remade.
Dun dun dun.
Fucking with me right now?
No, I'm dead serious. No, it's getting a remake. This is not a rumor. This is real. The studio called this Asper. They're doing a remake.
Those are the guys that did the Republic Commando.
Oh, so they're good at it?
I'm curious to see how they do this, because they haven't been doing any remakes. They've just been doing relaunches. So I we'll see.
So, Brett, you know, you love this game. You've told me about it. I've never played this because I never owned Xbox, but I've heard the legends of this game. So what would you like to see in this remake?
Honestly, they could do a one-to-one remake and just upscale the graphics, and I would be super fucking happy. The game, it's an old-school BioWare game, man. Like, not a lot changes with BioWare over the years in terms of, like, their Dragon's Age-type stuff, Mass Effect. And that was kind of the precursor. Now, there wasn't really a whole lot of, like, direct combat. It was more RPG, kind of disconnected, telling what to do during lightsaber battles. I didn't mind that, though. So it could honestly be a direct one-to-one creation. And I realize, you know, I've played all of the BioWare games, I've played all the Mass Effect games, played all the Dragon's Age games, and I still have to say with utmost certainty that Knights of the Old Republic is the best game BioWare ever released.
Wow. High praise.
Are we sure this is a remake?
That's what they said. They said a remake.
Because they said the same shit about some of these other ones that they do all the Star Wars games. I just did that review of Republic Commando, and I looked in their catalog, and every game they've released were just re-releases. They don't tweak anything. They don't change anything. They just re-releases. So I find it funny that they're willing to go that route for this one with all the other ones.
Yeah, it says right here, remake. They keep using the word remake. I hope it's true, because I've, like, tried to play the Rise of the Republic, like, you know, more recent. Shit looks rough. You know, I'm like, chill, I can't play this fucking game. So if they make it look nice, I'll fucking play it, because, I don't know the whole story, but I know parts of it. I'm like, that sounds epic as shit. I would love to play that, you know?
And that's the best part of the whole game is the story.
Yeah.
Because the combat, it's almost non-existent to a point. So I think if they were to remake this game, I think they'd make it more combat heavy.
Yeah.
They'd add those type of Mass Effect elements that they had. Well, I mean, they made Republic Commando, so they kind of already do that kind of stuff. So
they made all of them. All the Star Wars games that are on Switch and all, that's all them. Same studio.
Yeah. So I think
Odd Racer, all that.
But the thing is, I don't even care if they update the combat. I'm like, I just want it to look good, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I want to replay it because I forgot what the hell happened.
Yeah. You know? But that's dope, you know? So there you go. Be on the lookout for that. All right. And we'll end the show off with giving you my first impressions of Returnal. Carlos, TD clip time, baby. You already know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yay, yay.
All right. So I can now speak about it. I got Returnal earlier this week. Couldn't say nothing. But then, you know, like a preview embargo thing went up on Thursday, which I didn't know about because it was in Universal Standard Time. I don't know what the fuck Universal Standard Time is, but it's in the future, right? Because I was like, okay, Thursday, because I was prepared to do it tonight. You know, that's what it said Thursday. I'm like, okay, UTC, I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm going to guess it's 8 o'clock. No, it was the future. You know, it was like 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. So I could tell you a little bit about it. So I played about, this will tell you about this game. I've played about close to 11 hours of it. I haven't even beaten the second level yet. It's fucking brutal as shit, right? And I do want to say this, right? My mantra when it comes to reviewing games is, what is this game trying to do, and how well does it do it? And I'm gonna adhere to that hardcore with this one, because the kind of game it is not something I like. It has not, you know, people ask me, does it change your opinion on roguelikes? And it has absolutely not changed my opinion on roguelikes. It's actually strengthened my opinion of why I don't like roguelikes. But what it does in the genre is fucking great. So you expect a good score from me, right? I'm just saying, you know, so I'm just basically separating myself from this because this is not for me. This is not a game for myself. But for people who like roguelikes, they're going to fucking love this. And one thing I will say about this game, it's like Senua's Sacrifice, where it's a small game, but it feels epic in scope because of the presentation, right? So it's like an indie game at its core, mechanically an indie game, but it looks AAA, right? So that's gonna, you know, get a lot of people in there. And the combat feels really good. The girl, you know, she's really responsive. The combat is tight. All that shit is cool. A lot of Metroidvania going on with the map. And then I was very surprised. Like, I was surprised at first, and then I felt stupid when I realized who this developer was. I was surprised by how the Ikaruga-ness of the game. Then I was like, oh, wait, it's Hosmar Key. Of course it's going to have in there. You know, basically shoot bullet hell type of stuff. A lot of bullet hell shit going on in this game. So kind of interesting things went on. It's like a 3D version of a House Marquee game with all the crazy colors and effects going on and shit. So, you know, it's a
House very Marquee cool is the yeah. same guys that did Resogun, right?
Yeah, yeah. Resogun and Superstar.
So,
wait,
so all these are former Treasure guys? Is that what it is?
Yes.
No, it's not what it
is. Yeah. But yeah, so those are my quick impressions. I'm going to have just the fellas ask me a bunch of questions here, and I'll answer them, you know?
So to chime in, I actually saw this being played on the day of when like a bunch of sites did it, like, you know, IGN and all those. So I watched one of them play, and at least from the, like, I would have to say from when I initially saw Returnal, I was like, eh, you know, just whatever. But I have to say that at least from the gameplay aspect of me watching somebody actually playing the game, it actually looked quite fun. Like the way how responsive she seems to move. Like, she doesn't seem like she's like, it doesn't seem like there's like that sort of slowness. Like, she just zips her, like, she's got that dash move, and she seems to move really well.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, I feel like some of that part of it seemed the most interesting to me is, you know, not so much the whole, like, having to repeat the levels over and over again, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's an aspect, too. So this is a roguelike. Every time you die, and you will die a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot, the levels are always different. But I've noticed, at least with the first two levels, there's only four different configurations that they kind of cycle through. The enemies and items are always different places. Sometimes they'll throw the heart, like, off the bat, they'll throw every single hard enemy at you at once. Or sometimes you may not come across those guys until way later. So that's all randomized and stuff, typical. And the narrative itself, which I'm not going to say nothing, it makes a reason for why that's happening. Like, you're on this planet, it's always shifting around and shit. So that explains the whole bullet, you know? I mean, the whole shifting nature, you know?
One thing about it, for at least from the stuff that I saw, like, it doesn't, it gets right to it. Like, as soon as you, like, the first, you know, the first time you find a dead body, you're just like, wait, she's like, sort of like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something is going on here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You find a body that just so happens to have the gun you're missing, and the body looks like you. And then, of course, this is not a spoiler. It's in the trailers. It's yourself. You keep dying over, and you keep seeing your dead bodies, basically, you know. So that's going on.
The way the demo worked, right? Like, it kind of, you know, went through this whole area, and then it finally got to what was what I would consider a boss, and the person got killed. Now I'm like thinking to myself, like, what if somebody, when that person gets killed, then it actually says what the game is. It says Returnal. But it's like, what if you are so badass at the game in the beginning, you know how to fucking play the game, and you literally kick that boss's ass, and you make your way all the way to the end of the game?
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I'm pretty sure, like, a nasty speedrunner could probably do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm already getting questions in the chat, but I'll answer those after I answer the fellas' question, because Brett specifically said he had a bunch for me. So throw them my way, man.
Okay, so let me start with both me and the people listening here. Give us a top down of the game. Like, what is it? Because I know we've seen a lot of stuff on, you know, kind of the atmosphere and the kind of setting in some kind of weird eldritch sci-fi kind of thing. We've seen the enemies. I don't know if a lot of people have the glue to piece these things together. So can you give us kind of a top down of what the game entails?
All right.
In terms of its gameplay loop.
Okay. Oh, it turns to a gameplay loop. I mean, I'll tell you about the setting, then I'll go into the gameplay loop. So the setting is basically, you're an astronaut and you get some, like, weird signal from this planet you're sent to investigate. You crash land on a planet and you see this crazy, you know, HP Lovecraft shit going on, and you're trying to find, the goal of the game is you're trying to find where that signal is, but during the course of the game, very early on, you figure out, it's like, oh, there's other dead astronauts here, and it's you, and then when you die, you start the cycle over again. So the basic cycle is, if you played games like Dead Cells or Hades or things of those natures, it's like that. You progress and you keep picking up items and you gradually become more powerful. Your guns will get more powerful. Your suit will become more powerful. You'll get a bunch of items. But the instant you die, you go right back to the beginning and you lose all that shit.
You don't actually lose all of it.
You lose. I was going to get to that. There's some items that stick with you, some weapons, but I'm talking about those specific things I just mentioned, weapon upgrades and suit upgrades, all that shit, gone, you know, all gone. So you basically
start from scratch. I thought the suit upgrades came.
No, they don't.
Like the traversal suit upgrades.
No, none of that.
I don't know about that one because
I played it, man. You don't base it off the guy, fucking assholes.
I saw the guy get the transporter effect on his suit, and later on he was able to transform. So he transport to other locations. So
yeah, you have to go to
those lose that.
You don't lose that. But I'm talking about those specific upgrades, Manny. Don't believe some fucking asshole. I played the shit.
I didn't say believe it. I just saw the shit.
I'm a liar, man.
You know? I didn't say he's a liar, but like I'm just blown up based off of what I saw.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah, but I literally just said everything. You save some. I literally said you get some. But the main stuff, like if you get your weapon, because the more enemies you kill, the more adrenaline you'll build up. You die, all that adrenaline is gone. You know, if you get a weapon that's like level 5, you die right back to the beginning, level 1. You know, so that's
but you still have the weapon though, right?
No, you start with your little shitty hand
body, right?
No. There's something like that. Your body. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I have a problem. That was my main fear about the game because I beat Dead Cells, right?
Yeah,
that was a huge pain in the ass getting everything over again, upgrading. I cannot go through that shit. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I just, if I get this shit, I want to keep it. Do it like Dark Souls. If I lose my money and stuff, that's fine. But all the shit I work for and upgraded, I want to keep that shit.
Yeah.
If I lose, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, no. Because the main question I'm even going to answer tonight, is this game worth $70? I will answer that by the end of the night. But that's the thing. I appreciate what the game's trying to do, but a lot of time it feels like I'm beating my head against the wall. The first night I played for 3.5 hours, I made no fucking I didn't even get to the boss.
You said that you see your dead body, right? Every time you die, you go back and you see the weapon. So you
Let me clarify that. The first time you see your dead body, you see your weapon. That doesn't happen like that again. You'll find your dead body in different spots, but there's no weapon anymore.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. For the most part, you get each of the dead bodies usually come with something new, and then they'll have some sort of story beat, like, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen, or blah, 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 you know, like something.
One thing, and this is because it's not available to the public yet, I think that, these names could just be made up, I think, because you have the option to revive a body, or not revive it, you have the option to avenge it, which makes the body come to life, and then you have to fight a monster that comes out of the body, and it has usernames. I'm like, is these other players that died? So I'm not sure, I think I'm only going to be able to find that out when I actually play the game, like, you know, when it's public, you know? So that's kind of interesting, but that's not really a big aspect of it. But yeah, Chris, this is like when we used to play games back in the day, right? Like, you die at level 3, you got to go all the way back to level 1, start that shit over. Same deal, you know? And I don't think a lot of people are really going to dig that. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's the basic gameplay loop. Like, you gradually get little incremental upgrades that help you move along. But for the most part, it's just, beating your head against the wall until you surmount the odds, just like a Dead Cells or a Hades or games like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tony, remember we used to say you could forgive that stuff because there was technological limitations back then? That's why the game couldn't remember. And then later on, they give you passcodes and stuff, so at least you could level skip. Now, what's the excuse? Like, I know, I don't want that shit anymore. We don't have those limitations. Like, if I get upgrades and I update my character, I level up, I get a new suit, I get a new gun, I want to keep that shit. Yeah. So when I move forward, I can make more progress that way. If you put me back and then you change the map and everything, and I don't know what to expect, and just keep that. And this is not the same thing as like a hip hop gamer argument, because Souls doesn't change. The same enemies are in the same place, and you have to think like, okay, I can't run in here. I have to change up my strategy or whatever.
This you gotta game, wait for the elevator.
Gotta wait for the elevator. This game, the strategy's out the window, because it's like that same guy, he's not there. Hell, the level doesn't even look the same anymore. And you got your pea shooter again. Good luck to you. It's like, I can't.
Yeah, like I said, there's this one, it's up there. I could talk about the second level. Second level is this, like, desert level, right? So,
well, no, you can't. No, yeah, that wasn't in
there. I wasn't in
the
there.
The desert wasn't in there.
Ah, okay. No. So I'll leave it alone. But I can't say this, though. One specific enemy that, like, a mini boss, right? Like, usually in the middle of the level, right? There was one time this motherfucker was right there in the beginning. You think, how long do you think I lasted with a little pea shooter? You know, it's rough, man. So Brad, I don't know if that answered your question, but you know, that's the gameplay loop, you know.
To clarify, all of the streams that actually did do this, they never got to any sort of desert level. They were always in that sort of swamp looking place. Yeah,
because I clicked on something. They literally showed me a boss from the set, from the second level, the desert level. I'm like, I haven't even gotten to that thing yet. So they're showing it, you know.
All right.
So
I guess they're awesome because they did that in an hour and that's all it was.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the thing: if you're really, really nice, you could probably beat this whole game fast, you know. But yeah, no, Manny, I literally just saw the boss level, like it was posted. Okay. So you know, from the red waste. Brett, any other questions? Or actually, did I answer your first question?
Actually, you did.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Next one. Hit me.
Oh man, I'm trying to pick one. If you're playing the same area over and over again, is there equipment upgrades, upgrades to your gun, upgrades to your thing? I assume like you upgrade your equipment by finding things, or is this more of a character-based build-up?
There's no customization, if that's what you're asking. Like, none of that. Like I said, it's like a typical roguelike where, like, for example, you'll go out there with like a level 1 gun, and if you keep running around, hey, you may find a level 3 gun, right? Or you may find a extra health pack, or you may find these, there's like leeches and stuff that kind of, they give you like an ability but also take something away. Like, for example, one of them will regenerate your suit, but it'll also cause a malfunction. That's a whole other aspect of it. But the instant you die, that stuff's gone. All your, like, any fun weapons you found, gone. You know, any beneficial things you may have got on your body, gone, you know?
So essentially it's like consumable stuff, like, you know, that you lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You could say that. So yeah, no suit upgrades like that. Again, you do find stuff like, for example, I found a sword. That sword's always with me now, you know?
So yeah, my guess is like, it's like things that are just like consumable things, you get lost, like, you know, guns that you can throw away, you know, items and things that you can do.
Yeah.
But like, if it's like a traversal thing or something like that, sword, you get to keep it.
Get to keep that.
Also,
yeah.
Also, I noticed like the game doesn't if you fall off a ledge, it doesn't seem to count as a death.
No, but it does take your life. It does take health. You know, yeah, it's Hades. Like, I guess that's the best way. Just think of Hades. It's like that. You know,
but with guns,
yeah. any other questions?
I actually think you answered most of mine.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Well, in the first bit, you answered a lot. You told us what the game was about.
Yeah.
You told us the basic loop. You told us what you liked about it. You told us what you didn't like about it.
Yeah.
You already know my question.
What is your... Oh, wait. I don't remember it.
Is it worth the...
I want to answer that last, because I think it'll be good.
How about this? How is the story?
It's intriguing. I'm really intrigued by the story. I think the voice acting is great. The ambiance of this game. That's why I'm also a little frustrated. I'm like, damn, the game is stopping me from enjoying the story because I think the story is really fucking cool, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, just beating the fuck out of me, you know? Damn, GCR, I know you asked some questions. I can't find him here.
Oh shit, what happened to his question?
Yeah, what happened to his question?
He asked, he compared the game, like Alien Isolation or Dead Space, I think.
No, it's not like any other.
It felt a lot like Metroid.
Metroid, That yeah, it's more like Metroid for sure. Yeah, the space. Fergus. Yeah, the pacing is nothing like Dead Space or Alien Isolation. Does the Fergus. Feel? Hold on. I'm finding now. Does the feel of the game change when you have the haptic feedback turned on? I never turned off. I'm gonna get. Oh, thank you for telling me that. The haptic feedback in this game is fucking awesome. As a matter of fact, Brian, remember we were talking about this? Like, I want a game that does haptic feedback subtle. This game does it subtly. Like, it actually does it.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, like for example, remember in Astro's Playroom, you played Astro's Playroom, right, Brian? Like, you felt all that craziness. Yep. Okay, remember how it felt like when it rained in that game? Your whole controller's just like.
Mm-hmm.
This one, when it rains, it's very subtle. You almost don't even notice it, and you're like, oh shit, the controller's kind of vibrating now. Like, it does little things, like a very subtle use of the haptics. I'm like, this is impressive. And also, every weapon has alternate fire. So if you down press the L2 button halfway, you do a standard fire. If you hold it down all the way, then you do the alternate fire. And conversely, when you press R2, the harder you pull on R2, the faster some guns will shoot, which is really okay. Fucking cool. So, yeah, so Brian, this is the game I kind of wanted to... This is the game I wanted in terms of like the haptic feedback. I'm like, oh, this actually does it in a clever, subtle way. That's not just ramming it in your face the whole time, you know? So there you go. So it's a feel of the game. So again, I don't turn haptic feedback. I'm like, dude, why am I going to turn that shit off? That's the whole point of playing on a next gen controller. Anyway, is the speed of the combat similar to Vanquish? Vanquish is faster. Vanquish is faster, bro. You know?
Yeah.
Way faster. Okay, so Carlos, I guess I can answer this. Is the game worth $70? It depends. To me, it's not. I would not want to pay $70 for it because it's just too much. Here's my thing. I paid my dues playing these type of games, you know, growing up. I don't want to do that, but guys who love this type of shit, they're going to be loving it. $70 is definitely worth it for them. I will say this, though, for you guys who are like, you know, I need X amount of hours to get, you know, to justify the price of the game. It'll probably take you about 70 hours to beat this game because it's so fucking hard, you know? So it will be for $70 in that way, you know? Because again, I'm like 10 hours in, almost 11 hours. I'm like, I haven't even seen the second boss yet, bro.
Because I'm tempted to buy this game just because it's the only fucking game this generation has to offer.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to say. This game looks and feels next gen. You see, it's like, yo, they're like, PS4 can't do this fucking game. Not at all. You know, it cannot do it. Like, the environments, the haptic feedback and shit.
Flow times.
Yeah, the flow times are ridiculous. I didn't realize I could skip every cutscene. Like, oh shit, I could just skip it. You know? So, yes, this game looks and feels next gen for sure. You know? Nice. So, in that sense, it's a good showcase game. It's just you're just going to be showing the forest off to most people because you're not making it to the second level, you know?
Do they have difficulty levels?
Nope.
Ooh, interesting.
No lift difficulty levels. It's just hard, you know? This is one. And I'm going to say this right now. Hip Hop, you know, I love you, man. I want to see you stream this shit, bro. Stream this shit. I will pay to see that, you know? I think that's pretty much it. I can't say too much. That's all I got right now. I can't say too much because I haven't played a lot of the game, to be honest. You know? But, you know, we'll see what happens. I doubt I'm going to finish the game for the review, but I'm going to try to at least beat the third boss, you know, and we'll see what happens there. But I'm going to give it a favorable review, I believe, just because it's doing what it does well. It's just not for a lot of guys. Like, I'm going to say this. This game is not a people pleaser. Like Ghost of Tsushima or Spider-Man or God of War, it's not a mainstream type of game. It's for a niche audience. But at the same time, there's no PS5 games right now, so it may just be a success just because of that, you know. And Hades was a success, right? So who the fuck knows, man? You know. So we shall see. And that's gonna pretty much do it for that impressions there. So hope you guys enjoyed that, you know. All right, before we wrap up here, plugs. Does anybody need to plug anything?
I mean, it's just the usual things. Excellence, DC stuff, Marvel stuff. I'll let you know what's coming.
Stuff is coming. All right, Adam, what you got?
Got another episode of I Am Negan, which is the Walking Dead podcast. We're covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 10. So that should be dropping tomorrow. We'll drop that. So, yeah, check out I Am Negan over at the Coalition YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Craigslist, fucking MySpace. Goddamn, everywhere. So, yeah, it's cool. It's myself and Richard Bailey Jr., and then sometimes we have Carlos. He comes on for Walking Dead proper because we cover all the damn Walking Dead shows. Can't wait till the cartoon comes out. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Then we get the Lego version, Walking Dead Lego. That's going to be dope.
So. There you go. A lot of Walking Dead. You know? All right. So it's going to be me, Chris, and maybe Carlos, right, joining us and Dana for the season finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That's going to be on the Coalition tomorrow night, Friday night, right? I don't know when Dana posts those, but it's going to be after 6 o'clock. That'll be really cool. Right. And then on Saturday, we're going to be doing the Mortal Kombat spoiler cast. I don't know how many of you guys want to join us for that. Everybody is welcome. You know, that'll be fun. I don't know what time. I think we're going to be recording at 2. And then on Sunday, Invincible episode 7. It's going to be me, Carlos, and Dana, Richard Bailey Jr. You know, should be fun. So all that is over on the Coalition. Check out all those places. Adam just mentioned Spotify, all that other shit. You know, Coalition is all over the place, man. Coalition with a K, you know. And go check us out with the Coalition. Shout out to Gary, man. You know.
She's been around longer than fucking Microsoft's Coalition.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, you know.
It's dope.
All right, people, that's going to do it for us, man. Make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord where it is always popping. And shout out to the fans in there because I get all these news stories right from that Discord. So it's fucking perfect, man. Thanks for keeping us in the loop, man. Thanks for the rumors, Mr. Mob Hits, as always. All right, make sure you can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show, and visit throwdownshow.com. Listen to past episodes. And if you're on YouTube watching us right now, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the little bell if you enjoyed this episode. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Fully vaccinated. Time to go to the strip club.
Debbie's good to go now.
The one in New Orleans. Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, people.
Brett Murdoch.
It's real.
And Brian Monjoma.
Coming from someone who lives in London, just don't go around stabbing people. It's not good.
Oh damn, is that going down? Shit.
I'm gonna shiv you, I will.
Damn, I'm gonna cut you.
You besmirch me.
You wanker.
You talked about the queen, you did.
What do you mean, president?
You know, motherfuckers, you know, they're standing for that motherfucker that died and shit. Like, how dare you talk about the dead? Anyway, what the fuck are we doing? We'll see you on Thursday. Whenever we come back, I don't know when
we're
doing.
We just embarrassed him. Now
he just on Sunday.
I don't know when we do these shows anymore. We talk about the British, we is. All right, it was Sunday. Later, people.
Later, guys. Later.